We were in the Dallas airport one day, and all of a sudden, everything started to happen. Camera crews were flying around. People were moving all over the place. I said to Lynetta, stand here, because something's going to come out of that door there, off of that plane. And I don't know who it's going to be, but it's going to be special. When we got up there and watched, and all the cameras and all the people standing there, we recognized as they came running off that plane, they were those that were involved in that show, The Amazing Race. And then when I found out about that, I said, I want to watch that show because that's kind of special. And so we watched the race, The Amazing Race, once. And boy, what a joy it would be to be involved in that. What a wonderful privilege it would be to be involved in The Amazing Race and try to find this place that you don't know where it is by a path that you don't know how to get there and somehow just follow all the clues and get there. Let me ask you this. We won't do The Amazing Race today, but if we did, if I told you there's $100 somewhere in this building, and if you find it, you can have it, what would you need to get it? Well, some of you would say, I need to know where it is. Is that true? Do you need to know where it is before you can find it? Think about that. If you say you do, then you're like Peter. He says, I can't find the place until I know where it is. How about if I said, well, here's some directions. You really don't need to know the place. All you have to do is know the directions and follow the path. How many think you need to know the path? Some of you are saying yes. If you're like that, you're like Thomas. I can't find the place if I don't know the path. But what if you didn't need to know the place and you didn't need to know the path? All you had to know is me. I'll take you there. The key is not knowing the place. The key is not knowing the path. The key is knowing me. All you have to do is trust me. Just follow me. Does that make sense? It depends on how much you trust me. Right? If you can understand that, you can understand exactly what's going on in John chapter 13, verse 36, or John chapter 14, in verse 24. In that passage, you have four disciples trying to figure out something, and those four disciples are interacting in different ways because Jesus has just told them he is leaving. He's going to be gone. And now they're all troubled. Their hearts are all anxious. And they're all worked up about it. And they're all anxious about life. And he says in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. But before that, you get Peter's statement. He asks a question. I need to know where it is. You have Thomas coming in. I need to know the way. And then you have Philip who says, I need to know the person. The right person will get me there. And if you can understand that, you can see where Jesus Christ is going as we study this last I Am. We've been studying all the I Ams. I'm the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd. I'm the Son of God. I'm the resurrection and the life. And today we're in I Am the way, the truth, and the life. In the last 2 weeks we did I Am the true vine. When he says I am the way, that is surrounded by these questions from these four troubled disciples. So let's go with me to chapter 13, verse 36. Remember, Peter's usually first. I love Peter. I love people like Peter. They are ready, willing, and able to ask questions when nobody else has got the courage to do it. And he says this in chapter 13, verse 36. Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? We can't live without a troubled heart until we know where you are. And Jesus answered him and said to him in verse 36, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. He said, Peter, don't worry about where. Don't worry about the place. You will be there someday. You will get there someday. Someday all of you will be there. Peter says, that's not good enough answer. He says in verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. I need to be with you. I need to be with you now. I need to be with you always. I need to know where you are going. He says, you don't need to know. I need to know how I can follow you, how I can get there. Jesus says, no, you don't. No, you don't. I'm willing to lay down my life. Are you really? Are you really willing? Are you ready to go to that place? Here's what Jesus says. Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow until you've denied me three times. Peter was all worked up about a place. And Jesus says, you don't need to know where it is because you're not ready to go there. And I'm going to prove it to you, Peter. I'm going to give you three tests. Three times the rooster's going to crow, and it's going to prove to you you're not ready to go. But when you are ready, then you will go, as will everybody else who is a disciple of mine. And in that context, you have this first concern, the concern of those who say, I need to know where. I need to know the place. I need to know something about where it is. Otherwise, I will not be at rest in my life. And Jesus said to him, You really don't need to know where. How much do you know about heaven? I would suggest you know very little about heaven. In fact, if I would add up all the questions that people have asked me, one of the greatest questions that has ever been asked, as far as volume of times, is this: what's heaven like? And you know, I don't have much of an answer. I know it's big, and it's beautiful, and it's bountiful, and Jesus is there. I know it's up, but I don't know where it's up from. I know it's better. I know it's glorious. I know it's got mansions. But that's about all I know. And you say, but tell me what heaven's like. I say, I don't know. I know it's glorious and great, but I don't know that place. Do I need to know that place? Not really. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 14 as he comes right back to Peter on that question. Don't let your heart be troubled. Literally, it's stop being troubled. You're already all worked up, Peter. In fact, the you there is not singular, it's plural. So he's now looking at all the disciples and he's saying to them, you stop it. You guys are all anxious. You're all troubled. You're all perplexed. You're all worked up. Every one of you is worked up. I've just told you I'm going to a place that you don't know where it is and what it's like. And now you're all worked up. Stop it. Here's what you need. You need confidence and trust in a person. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. That's a commandment, by the way. Believe in God. And believe in me. The answer to a troubled heart, to an anxious heart, to a perplexed heart, a heart that's trying to find answers for life is this. You got to trust. Not the place. You got to trust the person. Believe in God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need. And as I said, William Hendrickson said it so well, if it were not so familiar to us, we'd be shocked at the simplicity of that statement, of the reality. You ever been perplexed and troubled in life? It's because you don't believe in God. It's because you don't believe in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we need to come to have a full confidence in Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Stop it. Believe in God. Believe in me. Here's what is true. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You don't have to confirm this place. You don't have to understand this place. You don't have to have a full explanation of what it's like and what you will be like there. You don't need that. You need to trust me, Jesus is speaking. If it were not so, I would have told you. Here's the reality. You guys aren't ready to go yet. And I'm not ready for you to come yet. I have to go and prepare a place for you. I have to get it all ready for you. Now, you understand as you read that section, heaven is a glorious place. It's a divine place. It's our Father's house. And our Father is the eternal God. We're going to live with God. We go to his house. We understand that it's a place of mansions, and literally the word is places to live, permanent places to live. It's not like some tent somewhere. It's not some temporary place. It's not like I'm going to be there a billion years and then I'd have to leave it. I'm going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. It's a mansion, a permanent dwelling place. In fact, there are so many mansions there, so many of these wonderful, glorious, abiding, permanent places that we will never run out of them. You don't have to rush there and say, boy, if I don't get the first one, somebody will get them all and there won't be any place left for me. There are many mansions. There'll never be a shortage of places in heaven. You don't have to worry about that. And it's being prepared right now. When you enter into the statement of Peter, you understand that the context for this wonderful statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life, is starts with this, with Peter's question. I need to worry and be troubled about a place. I need to know where it is. I need to get there right now. And Jesus says, no, you don't. You just have to trust me. I'm going to prepare it. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. Remember when you were a kid growing up and I don't know what age you were and mom and dad said, sit right here. I saw this the other day at a store. A parent said, sit right here. And she said, I'm going to go right over here and I'll be right back. You sit right there. And she kept walking. You sit right there. She walked over here and the kid stood up and ran. You know why? It's tough to sit there and watch your dad and mom walk off and say, they're going to come back and get me. You sit there and wonder, no, I don't know. And I'm not going to lose sight of them, because if I lose sight of them, they might never come back and I'll never have mom and dad again. So the little kid jumps up and runs and grabs his mom's leg. And Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I got to go and prepare a place for you. Sit right there. I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. Sit right there. Trust me. Can you trust Christ for this place? Do you know where it is? I don't. It's up. You know what it's like? I really don't. It's great. I have to trust the one who's preparing it for me. That's all I have to do. And I sit right there until he comes and gets me. We're going to sing later on. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, little silver, little gold. Are you? Here is why. The song goes on. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I've got a gold one that's silver lined. Don't think me poor, deserted, or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I've got a gold one, a harp, and a crown. I've got a mansion just over that hilltop in that bright land where I'll never grow old. Do you? You have to have a confidence that that place is yours. It is there. You don't know where and you don't know what it's going to be like, but you have to have a confidence in the person who says to you, trust me. So Peter had a problem with, I need to know where. I need to know about the place. And I'm troubled until I understand the place. And Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Trust me. Well, as you notice in chapter 14 and verse 4, and where I go, you know. He ends it with this. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And it's like, well, I just asked that. Where is it? How do I get there? And you didn't give me the answer. So Thomas, and I love Thomas. Sometimes we call him Doubting Thomas. That's not fair. Thomas just was one of those guys that had to make sure. I don't know if you've ever traveled, and you just have to make sure. Now, my wife doesn't worry about that. I do. I just always have to make sure. Do we have the right tickets? Are you sure? You know, I'm just always this person. I'm a Thomas. I got to make sure. I get to the airport, I go to the desk, and I got to make sure that our plane's leaving. I got to make sure it's out of gate C3. I got to make sure. My wife just sits there and look at the monitor. Trust it. What are you doing? I'm running around. I'm just not sure. She's always sure. Thomas was like that. He says, whoa, whoa, whoa. You talked about a place to Peter, and we don't have to worry about knowing where that place is. But you just said, we know where it is, and we know the way. Now, Thomas is going to pick up on this way or the path. Here's what he says. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and therefore, how can we know the way? If I said $100 is hidden here someplace, you would say, I can't find it until I know where it is. That's the answer to Peter. But what if you don't need to know where it is? All you have to know is how to get there. You go down that hallway, turn right, go to this door, whatever. What if I just gave you the path? Would that be enough? So Thomas is the one who says, boy, we really don't know where you're going. So you have to tell us the way. You have to tell us the path. Seems logical, doesn't it? Wouldn't you say, I can't find something until you tell me either where it is or how to get there? Jesus is going to show them you don't need to know where it is, and you really don't need to know the path, because I am the path. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, we're all thinking there's some way to get to heaven. There's this path I got to take. You know, it's either good works, or a host of other things, or I got to think right, or I got to act right, or I got to be this, or I got to be that, or whatever it is, and I got all these things that I got to do. It's all this program, it's all this path. If I do all this system, I'll get to heaven. The majority of people in our world today, the vast majority of our people in the world today, believe there has to be a path. There has to be some way, some system they have to complete to get to heaven. And Jesus eliminates that completely when he says, Thomas, I'm the path. It's not a system. It's not a program. It's a person. It's a Savior. It's me. You say you don't know the way. I told you in verse 4, I have more confidence in you than you do, Thomas. I have confidence that you know the way. You said, I don't know the way. You do know the way because you know me. I am the way. He does not say he can show us the way, because he doesn't have to. To know Jesus is to know the way. To know Jesus is to know everything you need to know to get to this mansion that's prepared for God's people. And the reason he is the way is because he is also the truth. He is the one who has never lied. He is completely reliable. He reveals to us everything that we need for all of life and living, and especially for redemption. He has never led us astray. All you have to do is trust him, because he has never, ever, ever lied to you. When I say, just trust me and follow me to the $100 bill, your confidence is dependent upon what you know about me. You might not do that. You might say, I don't know about that Rich Van Heuklem guy. Sometimes he's tricked us before. He's going to get me down the path, and then when I get there, he's going to somehow laugh at me or whatever. I'm not getting out of my seat and following him. In fact, would you like to try that right now? Anybody want to follow me? I don't think you do, because you don't trust me. You know, Jesus said, all you have to do is trust me. I have never lied to you once. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. It is not that I can show you life. I am life. It is through me that you will know the path. It is through me you will find the truth. It is through me that you will have genuine and real and abundant and eternal life. It's not about a path. It's about a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, no one comes to the Father by some path or some system or some little book that says, if you do this, 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 you get down this road and you'll get there to heaven. It is all found through Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except by me. By the way, can I take just a little rabbit trail? That is under intense attack today. Intense attack in the Church of Jesus Christ in America today. It is under intense attack in our own schools, in our own circles, in evangelical Christianity. I don't do this often, but I'm just going to read from a book. Jesus at one point claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was not making claims about one religion being better than all other religions. That completely misses the point and the depth and the truth. Rather, he was telling those who were following him that his way is the way to the depth of reality. This kind of life, Jesus was living perfectly and completely in connection and cooperation with God. It is the best possible way for a person to live. It's how things really are. Jesus exposes us to the reality at its rawest. So the way of Jesus is not about religion. It's about reality. It's about lining yourself up with how things really are. Did you read John chapter 14 and say that's not about an exclusive Christianity, the only way to heaven? That's what he's claiming. And in evangelical Christianity today, that is prominent. He is not saying he is the way, the truth, and life. He is saying he's reality. You understand that the emergent church, and there are some articles down there if you'd like to read about it, the church that is emerging to church today is denying some very basic things. They are denying the reality that Jesus said, I am the exclusive way to God and heaven. They will boldly say, as I read, he is not claiming that. You understand it? There's another book out by Michael Wilkins, Jesus Under Fire. He's writing in critique of the modern movement. Modern scholarship is trying to reinvent the historic Jesus. Here he says, the question is this: is Jesus the only way to obtain a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, or with God? That question needs to be asked again with sincerity and gravity. We have to ask, what are the assumptions? They are two. The question assumes the possibility of only one way. And it also assumes that we can know that way. Now, Wilkins is trying to say, as you read his book, that in modern evangelical Christianity, they are now saying he is not the only way, and you can't know it. In fact, one of our schools, it just shocked me this week as I read it. It just made me worried. They're debating these things now. They have a whole list of things they're debating amongst their faculty. They're debating justification. They're debating sanctification. They're debating eschatology. They're debating all this. But the one that really troubled me was this one. They're debating truth and certainty. Their new statement is this, or some of them on their faculty. We all believe that the Bible is certain. But some of our faculty believe that that certainty is a matter of confidence. Is that right? Is certainty and confidence the same? That sounds so good until you realize what they are throwing out. The rest of the faculty believes that certainty is truth without doubt. That certainty is absolute. That scares me that they would debate it. Are you confident in salvation? Or do you have truth without doubt? I hope you have truth without doubt. You're not saying, I'm about 99% sure that the Bible's true. I'm about 99% sure I'm going to heaven. I'm about 99% sure that everything's going to work out fine. I hope you've come to believe this truth is truth and it's absolute and I can understand it and I do understand it and I am saved today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, totally reliable, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. See, Peter was worried about the place. And Jesus said, don't worry about that. You don't know where it is. You don't know when you're going there. But you'll be there. Thomas said, I don't know the way. I don't know the path. Jesus said, you do. He is standing in front of you. He is talking to you right now because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So Philip jumps in, and you got to love Philip as well. He's the guy who always had his calculator out and said, you know, we don't have enough money to pay for all the food that it would take to feed the people. And he's always figuring things out. He's always thinking. He's always figuring. That's pretty good. I like Philip for that. And he goes, well, if it's all about a person, you said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Then in verse 7, Jesus said, if you had known me, you would know, have known my Father also and from now on you know him and have seen him. If it's all about knowing the Father, here's what I have to do, Philip says. Show us the Father. That's all I need. You ever go to a doctor and he gives you an intern? And, you know, the intern's working with you and say, hey, buddy, I love you, but I need to see the doc. You ever have that? Or you ever go, some people come to the office and they say, I got to see Pastor Rich. And I know Beth and Pauline and Sherry go, no, you can see me. We handle those things. No, I got to see Pastor Rich. You know, you got to go right to the top. You got to go see the doctor. It's tough dealing with a secondary person, isn't it? And Philip's like that. He says, you know, if it's all about a person, then Jesus, you're not quite good enough. I look at you like the intern versus the doctor. I look at you like the office staff versus the pastor. I'm going to the top. Show us the Father. You're not good enough for us, is what he's saying. And you can almost see Jesus deflate. And he goes like this in verse 9. Have I been so long with you? And you still don't know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And it's like cutting Jesus in half. Philip is doing it like, well, if it's all about a person, we're going right to the top. Show us the Father. That's what we need. And Jesus says, wow. You didn't get it, did you, Philip? I'm not good enough for you, am I, Philip? You didn't realize that I've been with you and I am so connected to the Father that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. It doesn't matter who you see. I'm not the intern and you got to go to the doctor. I and my Father are one. All you had to do was see me and you have seen my Father because we are so connected. And Philip's troubled about the right person. I got to have the right person. I got to have the right person. And Jesus says, you already have the right person. For Peter, it's, I'm troubled about the place. Jesus says, no, just trust me. And for Thomas, it's, I'm troubled about the path. I got to know how to get there. And Jesus says, no, you just got to know me. And now Philip said, I'm troubled about the person. I got to go right to the top. I'm going to God the Father. Got to show me him. Then I'll trust it. And Jesus Christ said, wow, I've been that long with you and you still don't know me, do you? I and the Father are one. He goes on to say in verse 10, Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. And you can go through the Gospels, and especially the Gospel of John, and pick up all the works that Jesus has done to prove that He's the eternal Son of God and He's totally and absolutely connected to His Father. And if it's happening with Him, it's happening with His Father. They are the same in one sense. And He says to Philip, the key, it's not that you have the right person, namely God the Father, because you already have the right person. It's me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you put that all together, you recognize that the heart of it is what Jesus would say. I am the way. That's all you got to know. Don't get worried about the place. You believe in God? Believe in me. Don't get worried about the path. Like there's some system you have to follow to get there. Just know me. I'm the way. I'm the path. Well, we're going to get the right person. I'm not going to follow just you, Jesus. I've got to get God the Father. No. Don't be troubled about this person, because you already have the right person. I've been with you. I have demonstrated that I am of God. And you can totally trust me. We will skip over verse 12. Down through verse 21, and you could see what happens if you really trust this person. Your prayers will be answered, and on it goes. But drop down to verse 22, because Judas, not Iscariot, asked one more question. He said, Lord, how is it? Because at the end of verse 21, it ends up with this, and I will love him and make myself known to him. I will present myself to him. So Judas comes up with the question and says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself or reveal yourself or present yourself to us and not to the whole world? That doesn't seem right. If you are the way, the truth, and the life, why is it that you're only going to manifest yourself, you're only going to present yourself to a limited number of people? That doesn't seem right. You got to present yourself to everybody. And Judas is troubled about the presentation. To him, it's a limited presentation. To him, it's like only a few people get in on this deal. Like, to him, it's like no one else gets to see it. And Jesus says, oh, Judas, did you not understand? Here's the reality, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. He just says, Judas, the presentation is limited, not because God the Father has limited it, and not because Jesus Christ the Son has limited it. If anyone would just love me, we will come running to him. We will make that presentation to him. He will know this truth, and the truth will set him free. Don't get troubled about the presentation being limited when it's really not limited by God, and it's not limited by His Son. It's only limited by people who choose to love or not to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you put that all together, you recognize that He is saying to His disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Relax. Be at peace. Don't be like Peter. You're all worried about the place. Got to know where it is. Got to know when I'm going there. Don't worry about that. Don't be like Thomas. I got to know the way. Got to know the path. You already know the path because you already know the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be like Philip who says, I don't trust you, Jesus. I got to have the God the Father. I'm going right to the top. If you have Jesus, you have it all. And don't be like Judas who says, well, maybe I'll miss out on it. Because it's only a limited presentation. No, it is not a limited presentation on God's part. If anyone will love me, we will come to him. And we'll reveal it to him. And when you put that all together, you recognize that what Jesus is saying is this. I am the way. It's all about me. It's all about me. And I trust that we believe that as a church. That what people need is not some revelation about the place or the path. They need to know about a person. And it's not just God the Father. If you have seen Jesus Christ, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And if anyone would love him, he'll come running and make the presentation. And you have everything you know need to know for life and for living. You see, to find the $100 today, you don't need to know the place. Do you? By the way, I don't have that. I don't even have to give you a path. A sheet of paper says, follow the hallway. All you need is know me and trust me. That's all you need. If you can understand that, you can understand Jesus saying to his disciples, I'm all you need. Believe in God, but also believe in me. If you have never trusted in Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, then today is the day that you ought to do that. And if you have, we're looking forward to a mansion. We're going to sing about that. I trust that you are totally confident, because it takes away all of your troubles to know I've got a mansion. Let's pray. Father, help us today to love you and to serve you and to just have a total confidence in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and just trust him to get us to heaven at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. We just are going to follow him. I pray for anyone who does not know Christ as Savior, that they would come to know him today, and they would find that he is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get to the Father except by him. We trust him today in Jesus' name. Amen.